Does it seem like every time you turn around or open up your wallet, you're shocked at the changes that have directly impacted your life in just 2.5 years? There's something that you can do to protect the value of your hard-earned savings and retirement accounts. Contact the folks at American Hartford Gold and talk to them about your options in diversifying your assets. Empower yourself with opportunity. Hold on to the fruits of your hard work and protect your future. So do what I did and call the only precious metal dealers I trust, American Hartford Gold. Diversify your portfolio with physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside of your IRA or 401k. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
Who the heck is this skinny guy with a funny last name, and what the heck is he doing in the middle of this debate stage?
Well, the skinny kid with a funny name.
Listen, now that everybody's gotten their memorized pre-prepared slogans out of the way, we can actually have a...
I think that was kind of a memorized pre-prepared slogan, if we're being honest, because he stole the damn thing from Barack Obama. When that was a weird... It sounded familiar. And it sounded familiar to me immediately, and it sounded familiar to a lot of other people because we had heard it before. You know how we heard it before? We heard it before in a previous debate. Back was that that was the 08 presidential debate. That was back in 2008 when we heard him say that. And so that's why it sounded familiar to a lot of people because, oh, we'd heard it before. So that was, I think, one of the worst moments that he had had in politics thus far. It was just bad. And I got to be honest, I don't think that dude had a good night. Welcome to the show. Dana Loesch here. We're going to get you set up. I watch the debate because it's part of my job. So I have to watch the debates. That's what I do. You know, I watch them and I get everything situated and we get all the audio. We also had the subscriber discussion yesterday. So if you are a subscriber to Chapter and Verse, you got to participate in that. So who won? That's what you want to know. You want to know who I think won, right? Isn't that what everybody wants to know? Who does Dana think won the debate last night? How long is she going to string us out? About to slap her. Just get to it, woman. Well, here's the thing. It was a weird debate. And I'm going to be honest, because you guys know who I like, but I'm going to be honest. I call balls and strikes. I don't think that any candidate had a super big moment last night except to fall on their face, and that was Ramaswamy, if I'm being honest. If I'm being completely honest, I don't think that any of the candidates, where do we want to start? I was writing some of this up for a post that I was going to send out. Because it was just weird to see Chris Christie and Mike Pence on stage again. Because we'd seen this before, right? It was just kind of weird. When it was weird, we're like, oh, we were kind of here before. We've seen this debate before. So you had Ron DeSantis, you had Tracy Flick. Oh, I'm sorry, Vivek Ramaswamy. You had Chris Christie, Mike Pence, Doug Burgum, who's not going to be back up. Asha Hutchinson. Oh, Tim Scott was there. Hell, we forgot about him halfway through. He just sort of blended. He just like disappeared into the set. He got real quiet and just went away. He just went away. And Nikki Haley, who I think overperformed. Now, don't misunderstand me when I say the word overperformed. Okay? Don't misunderstand me and think that I'm saying, oh, I thought someone did well. I think that she did better than everyone was expecting her to. She did good for her. Do I agree with everything she said? Hell no. But she did good for her. She needed to show up and be... I think they were all on Adderall. Honestly. Except maybe for Asha Hutchinson. Didn't they all seem wound up? It's like they got told before they went out there, you all got to get wound up and just go rip out each other's necks. Kick each other in the neck. So, very odd. It's just very odd debate. So, if you're asking me who I thought won, like I said, I tweeted this last night and I've been thinking about it. And I still think the same. I think that DeSantis stayed steady. He didn't take any big flashy risks. He didn't have any big flashy risks. I think he just needed to stay where he was and try to get some more life, more fundraising, you know, and extend. I think that's pretty much what he needed to do, and I think that that's what he did. He stayed steady. He had some good lines. He had no damage done to him. None. He did take a shot at the former president, though. There was that. And we're going to play some of this audio. He did take a shot at the former president when he was talking about some of the lockdowns and some of the things, the way that COVID had been handled. And this is audio soundbite. We have 55,000 cuts of soundbites today. This one would be, because this was one of the, he'd been talking about, and apparently I guess we don't have this one. Is it 13? Yeah. Oh, yeah, there we go, right there. There's so many. Audio soundbite 13, please. Thank you, sir.
Governor DeSantis.
So here's the thing. Why are we in this mess? Part of it, and a major reason, is because how this federal government handled COVID-19 by locking down this economy. It was a mistake. It should have never happened. And in Florida, we led the country out of lockdown. We kept our state free and open. And I can tell you this, as your president, I will never let the deep state bureaucrats lock you down. You don't take somebody like Fauci and coddle him. You bring Fauci in, you sit him down, and you say, Anthony, you are fired.
Ooh, there you go. That was a good line. I thought that was a good line. Was it a moment? Now, you're asking, what is a moment, Dana? You know what those are. Those are the times in the campaign when someone gets bent, someone gets told, or someone just strikes a chord that is so strong, you send it to people. You know what I mean? Did you want to, that's what I said. It was a good line. But I don't think that he was looking for moments. I don't think that he was looking to bank anything on a flashy moment. And I was thinking about this, you know, after the debate, I always give initial thoughts. And then I just wait and I ruminate. And I process. I don't listen to anybody. I do not listen to any other talking. I don't listen to a damn spinmeister. I don't get no talking points. I don't get nothing from nobody. Because I want to process what I've heard myself. I have not watched television at all today. I want to process it myself. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought that actually might be a good strategic move. This is the long game. Now, if you're playing the short game, what do you want to do? Oh my gosh, you need to be flashy, right? You need to have a big flash bang moment. That's not what he did. But he didn't take any damage and he had some very good lines. So I thought he stayed steady. I thought Pence and Haley overperformed. Pence started losing it towards the end, but I thought that they overperformed. I knew that Haley was going to be really hardcore on Ukraine because that's a pet thing for her. And also she was the pick under Trump to be at UN. So I knew that was going to be the thing she focused on. I thought Pence really started losing it towards the end. I got to tell you, did anybody else's jaw hit the floor when he immediately went into Ramaswamy? Did anybody else go, who did he get Hunter's coke? Like, what happened? Did anybody else think that? Was I the only person that thought that? Because he got really aggressive at one point. And it was a very interesting take. This is just one example, audio soundbite 17, where Pence kind of got aggressive and went in. And I was actually a little shocked. I thought it was a little too played up towards the end of the debate, but in the beginning, it was very interesting. Listen.
Can I speak on Governor DeSantis really quickly? Governor DeSantis.
We don't have an identity crisis, Vivek.
We're not looking for a new national identity. The American people are the most faith-filled, freedom-loving, idealistic, hardworking people the world has ever known. We just need government as good as our people.
There you go. Huh. Very interesting. Wasn't it weird? Kate, were you like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah.
What did you think? Wasn't it weird?
Yeah, everything was weird about it yesterday. Some of it looked really manufactured.
Oh, my gosh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that, to me, just was like, this was going to be long.
So I want to talk about a conspiracy theory that I have here in a little bit, but let me just get to, I'm going to answer everybody's question first. So, and Kane, remind me to come back to my conspiracy theory, because I have one. So, Pence and Haley overperformed. Do you guys remember that movie Inside Out? It's kind of like a kid's movie, but adults could appreciate it too, the animated movie. And it had all the emotions and they were all in that girl's head. Okay, he was the anger one. That's all Chris Christie was. Chris Christie was a giant hungry hammer last night and everybody looked like a Donald Trump nail. No joke. That guy, he just did not care. He brought just a box of matches and just going to set every bridge on fire right after he closed them, the George Washington one. It was very interesting to see that. He came in, he said some things. Now, he said some things that I thought were interesting. Audio soundbite, for instance, 12. This was a very interesting soundbite. Take a listen.
I've had enough already tonight of a guy who sounds like ChatGPT standing up here. And the last person in one of these debates, Brett, who stood in the middle of the stage and said, "What's a skinny guy with an odd last name doing up here?" was Barack Obama, and I'm afraid we're dealing with the same type of amateur standing in the stage.
Oh!
Give me a hug.
If I have to be honest, that probably, if I had to pick, Dana, list some of your moments. I had a couple, right? I like when DeSantis is talking about immigration. I'm not a fan of Christie, and I don't know how to feel right now. Because I get mad at people when they make me defend people I don't like. And I also get mad when people that I don't like do something that I think is amusing. And it makes me want to like what they did, but I don't want to because I don't like them. I don't know what to do, Kane. What do I do? I am so confused right now. What do we do? Do we like this? We don't like him, though. But do we like this? We like that, but we don't like him. Oh, my gosh. This is like an existential crisis. That was a funny line, though. That was funny. So, I mean, it was. Now, here's one of the things. There are so many times I thought that DeSantis was very well measured. And I thought Christie was just a bull in everybody's china shop. It was just really weird to see certain aspects of their personalities get downplayed and some play up what they didn't have, like with Pence being aggressive. I will say there are a couple of times that I thought there were perfect opportunities to get super petty and they didn't take it. We're going to talk about that. And that maybe that's just me. I'm a brawler, so I don't know. But when discussing, you know, like Hutchinson, he was a non-entity. You know, Doug Burgum only literally got on stage with gift cards, right? Y'all know this, right? He like was giving people gift cards so he could get to that 40,000 individual donor limit. And he did it with gift cards. He's the gift card candidate. But he's not going to be up on stage after this. Nobody. So this, I mean, that's, he's a non-entity. Scott wasn't charismatic. He totally faded into the set. So who do I think won? Well, it depends on how you're measuring it. I think the person who did the best for their own campaign was DeSantis. Were there any big, giant moments? No, I think my favorite one was the Vivek GPT thing. I got to be honest with you guys, and you guys know I'm very straightforward and very transparent with you all. And I'm very open and honest about who I like and who I don't like. Because A, you pay me to have opinions. You want me to have opinions. But I also am not afraid of my audience, and I'm also not disrespectful towards my audience, where I'm not going to blow smoke up your ass and pretend that I don't like or dislike someone and then act like I'm going to do this triangulation thing and be above it all. I'm going to be honest with you guys. The more I've learned about Ramaswamy, the more I do not like him. And I feel like the media is really trying to set him up to be number two. And then they're going to take him out with all the oppo that, I mean, we only know just the tip of the iceberg out there. Every time I dig more, there's more stuff that comes up. That is something y'all need to be really careful about here. And the more, last night, I thought he came across as so unlikable because he was like, he ate a bottle of Adderall before he went on stage. He was like Tracy Flick on steroids. You know, Reese Witherspoon's character? Oh my gosh. That's who he reminded me of. And there's a difference between being the joyful warrior and aggressive. And then there's a difference between being the guy who tells the teacher right before she dismisses class for the week and on Friday that she forgot to assign homework. He's that guy. And it just really, there's something about it. And I know you all know it too. There's something about his personality, to say nothing of the major issues that exist with his record. So I'm going to be honest with you about it. I am not a fan. Politics doesn't have to be personal. I get along with him when he's on the show. That does not mean I want him as president of the United States. Now, I think that we got to be careful with the way that the media is handling it. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about my conspiracy theory coming up and some of the best and worst moments in the debate. Also, BRICS just expanded while Joe Biden was vacationing. They're having the funeral for the petrodollar now. We got to talk about that coming up as well. So we got a lot of stuff to hit today. My gosh, and we got all the stuff in Georgia.
Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Rifle ready-to-drink coffee is available in several great-tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the berry mocha, vanilla bomb, or espresso salted caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Oh, let's see here. Young Americans are breaking up with booze. A record 40% of 18 to 34-year-olds say they don't drink alcohol at all. Well, that's fine. Just more for Gen X. That's okay, because we need it. Because everything that, no offense, boomers. I know there's some boomers out here, so don't hate on me. But, I mean, we're the sandwich generation. Thank you. Like, I saw another, I saw a poll literally yesterday where it had, like, boomers and millennials and Gen Z. And I'm like, where's Gen X? Like, you forgot about us again. What's the matter with you? Yeah, they said that and non-white Americans are less likely to drink compared to the white peers. Very interesting, isn't it? So if they do, I wonder what they do. Mm-hmm. So did you hear about this woman who had threatened to kill Barron Trump? She had was on social media saying that she was going to shoot him in the face. And they had deputies show up and they arrested her. It's weird that they didn't break into her house in the middle of the night and shoot her. Like that one guy. Yeah. I'm just saying. But yeah, they did arrest her because she's nuts and you can't do stuff like that. Like, what is wrong? Like, you're a grown woman and you're posting about a teenage boy, you pedophile, you psycho murdering pedophile. I don't know. And I hate how she does her eyebrows. They're not supposed to look like upside down frowns. Like, they're supposed to have an angle. That's me being petty. It's almost Friday. I was up late. Just bear with me. So it's a male nurse was told to man up by his female boss in front of a room full of women, and he filed a sex discrimination case because he's a giant pansy on top of it. He is. Just like I think that if someone said woman up and she filed suit, I think the same thing. That's very lame. He sounds like he needs to man up. I'm just saying. Stay with us. We got a lot more. The best moments, the worst moments, and my conspiracy theory. Stay with us. Caltech invented the concealed carry category years ago with the P11, but did they stop there? Heck no. One innovation just led to another and another, and, well, just look at their latest, the P15. It's the lightest, thinnest, double-stack 9mm handgun on the market at only 14 ounces and 7/8 inches wide. The P15 has a 4-inch barrel and double-stack magazine that holds 15+1 total capacity. Its gator grip texture on the polymer version increases stability and makes for ambidextrous grip safety and easy, accurate handling. If you prefer a more vintage look, choose the metal version with classic wood panels and textured grips. The P15 has a Tritium Plus fiber optic front sight with a fully adjustable Tritium 2-dot rear to keep you on target in any situation. Make the P15 your choice for concealed carry. Learn more at KeltechWeapons.com. Sign up for the Keltech Insider and get a 15% coupon for your next order of gear and accessories at KeltechWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C Weapons.com.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
Is this what we're going to be focusing on?
I'm relieved.
Going forward, the rehashing of this, I'll tell you, Governor DeSantis, the Democrats would love that. We and they will win if we let them get away with it. I'm not letting Biden hang out in the basement this time. We're going to run him around this country, and we're going to hold him accountable.
That's what I wanted to see more of. But I thought he did good in the debate. Welcome back to the program, Dana Lashley with you. Bottom of this first hour. That's when they were asked about J6. And he's like, are you kidding me? I mean, I told you guys, right? I mean, I just had this. I tweeted about it earlier today. I'm just throw this out here real quick for you. Saudi Arabia, Iran, Ethiopia, Egypt, Argentina, and the UAE just joined BRICS. you know, BRICS is Russia, China, India, and some others. They're killing the petrodollar. Where's Joe Biden? Oh, that's right. He's on vacation still, Lake Tahoe. You have Afghanistan. We didn't even really touch on immigration. We didn't really touch on China. We didn't say a damn thing really about COVID and vaccines and masks and all of that. They asked about UFOs and they were going to ask about J6. They want to focus on that. Yes, I get the witch hunt. The witch hunt is a separate issue from what they were asking. They weren't asking about the witch hunt. That's not what they were asking about. They were trying to get everyone, do you think that what he did, XYZ? It's like speculative questions. And I thought that the Florida governor was right to just be like, this is dumb. We're not doing this. He was right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And so I look at this and I thought he did well. Strong and steady stays the course. The media, some of you might get mad at me. I'm going to be, like I told you, I'm going to be really honest with you guys on stuff. The more that I research Vivek Ramaswamy, the more I hear from him as a politician, politics don't have to be personal, the more I don't like him. The media is pushing this guy hard, which should tell you something. He's all over Daily Mail. He's all over Memorandum. They're trying to be like, oh, he's the guy who got his butt handed to him the hardest at the debate. He walked out with a plagiarized Barack Obama line. I want someone to explain to me how the hell a guy who is pushing, literally pushing a socialist 59% death tax, the guy who created a biomedical surveillance database that he wanted to sell to other countries to track you, all of us, who still has Biden-like investments in China, I want you to tell me how this guy is like the new conservative Republican leader or whatever. I want to know. Because if that's what a Republican is, I don't got enough fingers to extend as a thought towards that. If that's what Republicans are they going to, if that's what we're embracing, blank that, man. I'm out. I'm not for no death tax. I'm not for no socialist death tax. I'm not for no, you know, he supported masking. He supported Bernie Sanders' stupid masking thing. He tweeted it and I have screenshots. And then one of the tweets he accidentally forgot to scrub. I have all these receipts on Substack. Go look. So I send it out. How is that Republican or conservative? I mean, are we all not mad that they're talking about bringing that back again? And then the guy who was literally saying, oh, Bernie Sanders is smart. That was a good idea. And was like supportive of this mask rule. By his own words, he literally typed it and tweeted it not once, but twice. And that's the guy. So wait a minute. Republicans, conservatives, are you for mandatory masking? Just let me know now because I need to know whether I'm out. That's what I want to know. Are Republicans and conservatives for a socialist 59% minimum, quoting socialist, avowed, well-known socialist, pushing the death tax? Is that what Republicans and conservatives are for? Because I am out. Y'all can hang by yourselves. No joke. I just want to know. Are we for government surveillance of people with vaccines and viruses? I just want to know. Because if that's what Republicans and conservatives are for, I'm out. That's neither Republican nor conservative. Everything's lost all meaning. I just want to know. Because if that's what it is, then there's a whole hell of a lot of us got to go somewhere else, I think. That's not what I'm about. I say this because he's never addressed any of this stuff. You bring it up and he's like, oh, yeah, that's a lie. You've said it. Not everything is a lie. Not everything is media malpractice. I mean, these are big issues, guys. Did your kids not suffer by having to wear a damn face diaper for how long? And people are literally flirting with the idea of a dude who supported that stuff. I'm not making this up. I mean, you can, for real, you can go. And if you're mad at me for saying it, you can go. And it's him who said it. Get mad at him. I'm just a messenger. I just got a lot of questions about this. And this is where I wish they would have gotten pettier. I want to play this soundbite. This is, it's the Soros prosecutor one. I thought this was a good soundbite. But he didn't, I wanted DeSantis to go somewhere else with it too. I get it. He's staying strong and steady. This is me, Petty Dana, wanting more. This is audio soundbite 14. Listen to this. This is about these Soros prosecutors.
When we had two of these district attorneys in Florida elected with Soros funding who said they wouldn't do their job, I removed them from their posts. They are gone. As president, we are going to go after all of these people because they are hurting the quality of life and they are victimizing innocent people in every corner of this country. And it will stop when I get into office.
Okay, this is where I wish he would have gone. I wish that he would have said, and you know what? I'm tired of Soros not only trying to buy our justice system and push the rot of restorative justice with all of these DAs, but I don't really like the idea of him meddling in our presidential election either, because there's one candidate up here who literally took money from Soros and got his start with George Soros and has praised George Soros. And it's not me. And I don't think it's some of the people standing, you know, to my right. That's what I would have said. Absolutely. Because see, then he would have wanted to jump in, but he has to indict himself by wanting to jump in because he didn't, you don't mention him by name. The rule is if you mention someone by name, then they can respond. And it's true. I'm not making this up. Because he got started with George. I mean, he did. He said that he only accepted Soros money and became a Soros fellow so he could afford to pay for law school. Y'all, he was a multimillionaire already. He didn't need George Soros money to pay for law school. He was a multimillionaire already and had been. So that's a lie. So I just want to know, as Republicans and conservatives, are we loving Soros now? I'm not. That's not hyperbole. It's a legit question. I'm not flirting around with these fools. I'm done. This is the last election. After this election, we lose. Goodbye, Supreme Court. I'm not joking you. Bye. Bye. Goodbye, Supreme Court. If we lose, expect another war. Get ready to ship your kids off. I'm not joking. That's what's going to happen. And that's just the top of it. We'll be beholden to China. We'll be completely subjugated to the CCP with dependence on the rare earth elements they control for our stupid green new whatever. We don't even have the infrastructure to support it, but hey, let's go ahead and do it. That's what we're going to, that's what's going to happen. So I'm taking this election a little serious. Not that I haven't others, but I just don't have time to flirt around with this stuff. I'm tired of everybody pretending. Why are we pretending? Is that good manners to pretend? I don't think it's good manners to sit here and gaslight people and act like you're something that you're not. I don't think that it's good manners to expect people not to point out that you're a damn stalking horse. Come on. It's either for Trump or Big Pharma, one of the two. And I told Kane yesterday, the Big Pharma thing sounds kind of sus, man. I mean, you got a guy who still's got a stake in a company that's suing over mRNA tech with subsidiaries in China. Big Pharma, please. I'm just saying. So I just got questions about some of this stuff. And people are like, oh, well, you know, Dana, people can change. Really? He just had a 180 from February? Look, I'm all for people changing. But do you realize that for people to be moved by such a transformation, they usually have a story that goes along with it. Why did you change? What made you change? There's no such thing here. And a lot of this stuff is recent. I mean, hell, the death tax is just the other week, last week. So I think that, you know, it is very, there's shenanigans going on. And I just am tired of pretending. That's one thing you can count on. I'm tired of pretending. And I'm always going to be straightforward with y'all. You may not agree with me all the time, but you can take what I say to the bank. Now, see, I would have gotten petty with that. Would that have been too much, Kane? If I would have, if I were him and I would have added that on?
It would have made the debate a little more exciting, I think.
I mean, because there's several times that I would have just, that's me, though. But see, I get it. Slow and steady. That's probably why he might be running for president, and I have no business doing that because I am mean as hell. I would immediately, every moment I can, get a dig in. But I get it. There's, you know, he's got a strategy. I get it. And that's a good thing, right? I kind of want someone who, when you punch, boy, oh boy, is it going to be devastating because it's not used all the time for everything. I don't know. I'm just saying. Now, oh yeah, Tim Scott was there. We forgot about him. We literally didn't get any audio of him. No, I don't, because I don't care. I will say this. You know what Tim Scott succeeded in doing last night? He did not make himself unlikable. He's just boring. He's boring. Don't be boring. He seemed very nice, but boring. I don't like that Nikki Haley twice had to remind everyone that she's a woman. I do think that that's a thing. She did quote Thatcher at one point, so that was, you know, I understand that was good. But after that, I'm like, okay, we don't need it. We get it. You're a woman. Stop it. I just don't know if I have any interest in voting for a woman who constantly has to remind everyone that she's a woman. You know what I mean? Like, I would be more interested in a female candidate if she just never said it. Like, we get it. We see you got boobs. We understand, right? We know you're a chick. All right, so a couple of other things, because there was some very good, I think this is weird. We're going to play this coming up. I'm going to say it here. I'm going to save this. I'm going to save this one. We're going to play it because there's a lot. We also have some stuff on Biden. Biden was asked about that plane crash. You know, that Wagner Group guy, his plane fell out of the window yesterday, total accident. And they just happened to have video of it, like perfectly timed and everything. That's not set up at all. But Biden was asked about it and he was like, oh, I don't know. I've been working out. He literally said that. Every day we hear about another familiar brand undermining their customers and going, quote, woke. Americans are sick and tired of having far-left propaganda jammed into every product they consume. And for years, they've dumped millions into far-left causes, and everybody had to kind of take it because you needed a cell phone and probably thought that there was no alternative. Well, there is, and that's Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, offering dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to in your area, minus the far-left propaganda. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending a message that you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, our military, veterans, and first responders. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. Get free activation today using offer code Dana and ask about their coverage guarantee while you're there. Get the same dependable service and take a stand for your values. Make the switch today. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Mr. President, do you have a reaction to the plane crash in Russia?
So I'd be careful what I drink, what I wrote in. I don't know for a fact what happened, but I'm not surprised.
Do you believe?
There's not much that happens when Russia is Putin not behind, but I don't know enough to know the answer. I've been working out for the last hour and a half.
We don't believe that. Did you just watch him barely shuffle? Holding his smoothie. For those of you checking out the simulcast, welcome back to the show. President of the United States. He's asked by the press as he, where was he? Was he leaving a smoothie place?
I think that was the Pilates place, if I'm not mistaken.
He was doing Pilates?
Yeah. You don't remember that?
He needs to get some of Vivek's Adderall. Damn. That was rough, man. Watching him shuffle, just shuffle with his smoothie. Guys, y'all have old folks in your family, right? We all know. We're not dumb. We know what it's like when, you know, we've seen the old folks in our family. We know what it's like when they're struggling with mobility or cognitive issues. We're not making fun of it. We're saying that we recognize it, and we recognize it in him. I mean, my gosh, he walks like my great aunt. And he's been on vacation for a year. There is nothing wrong with talking about that. You know, you bring that up, and you know what the media does? They go, they do stuff like this. How dare you make fun of his stutter? What? I mean, there is a tactic in saying something so monumentally stupid that it causes the person to whom the remark is addressed to actually pause to appreciate the stupidity of the remark. It's such a non sequitur. Has nothing to do with what we're talking about. But that was his response. You had planes falling out the sky. You got all the Middle East joining BRICS. All the oil nations are lining up together as this administration is restricting our own domestic production capability further. Nothing done on refining either. I was working out. You weren't working out. Let's be honest. Like, he can't even lay in the floor. I bet he can't even get in the floor. Right?
For an hour and a half, we're supposed to believe that.
Yeah, an hour and a half he worked out.
What has he ever done for an hour and a half?
Besides lay on the beach?
Besides sleep.
Yeah, on the beach. Yeah. I don't have any record of that.
Yeah,
yeah, it's wild. I have like no record of that. I don't know what he would do. I just don't know. Yeah, so that's seems like that's he's not anywhere. He's staying out, but you know what? He's totally staying out of the way. He's staying out of the news because he doesn't want to have to be addressed by anyone at the debate. Interesting tactics, right? And I think so. All right, so we have a lot on the way. DOJ is suing SpaceX. That just came in. I know it's like a Friday when all the stupid stuff hits. Like, y'all are trying to go and get ready to enjoy your weekend. Oh, nope, the administration and all the shady stuff they're doing. They're trying to get around having it reported on cable news and online. So we're going to drop it now before you go away for the weekend. No, DOJ suing Elon Musk's SpaceX. We're going to talk about that. We have more from the debate. I'm going to tell you about my conspiracy theory. Because I noticed something last night. It was very interesting to me. And I have seen no one else talk about it. We'll discuss it coming up. Stay with us.
I've had enough already tonight of a guy who sounds like ChatGPT standing up here. And the last person in one of these debates, Brett, who stood in the middle of the stage and said, "What's a skinny guy with an odd last name doing up here?" was Barack Obama, and I'm afraid we're dealing with the same type of amateur standing on stage tonight.
Come over and give me a hug. Give me a hug just same, like you did well, to Obama.
Dang. I mean, that's, by the way, that was, he was addressing, Chris Christie was addressing this. Audio soundbite 7. This is what he was responding to.
Who the heck is this skinny guy with a funny last name, and what the heck is he doing in the middle of this debate stage?
Of a skinny kid with a funny name.
Listen, now that everybody's gotten their memorized pre-prepared slogans out of the way, we can actually have a real discussion now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you. Top of the second hour. Got a lot to discuss today because we had the debate last night. It finally happened, the debate. And we were talking about who, I thought, one, talking about some of this other stuff, I'm going to get into the conspiracy theory. Like I said, I think if you were determining who won, and I think some of these hot takes, everyone is like, oh, the person who won wasn't there. I'm judging on who was at the debate. I think the person who did the best for their campaign was DeSantis. There wasn't any big, giant moment except that one. And that was Ramaswamy not doing very well. You can't come right out of the gate and start quoting Barack Obama. Okay, you just can't do that. What are you doing? So just like you can't say you're a Republican and be pushing a 59% minimum death tax, but I, you know, digress. So you could stream, by the way, the radio program across the country. You can listen across the country, stream it, watch the simulcast, YouTube, Facebook, channel 347, DirecTV. I have a conspiracy theory. Now let me pull this up. I read this piece where it was a piece that had said that right before the debate, it said like DeSantis had met with Kemp in Georgia. And I was reading, it was over Politico. And this was just on the 18th. It said that DeSantis had met privately with Governor Kemp of Georgia. He met him last Friday. They know each other already. There's a group of governors, of Republican governors, that that kind of talk and are supportive of each other. You got Kevin Stitt, you got Kemp, you got DeSantis, you got Kim Reynolds, and there's another one. They're all, you know, they all kind of help support each other's initiatives, which I think is good because I really want to see the Florida blueprint extend to all these other states. So I think that's actually a good idea. But here's what I think is interesting. So apparently Kemp spoke Thursday on the phone with Chris Christie. And he apparently, Kemp had met with Pence. Now, DeSantis and Pence were not meeting with Kemp at the same time, per Politico. They just met with Kemp separately. I just thought that was kind of interesting. And that stayed in the back of my mind. I mean, it's Politico, and it's all sources say. You know, the same kind of Politico that sources say, you know, with Trump that apparently he likes not to use. But, I don't like the sources say stuff. I didn't like it during the last, you know, Republican administration. I don't like sources say still now. I didn't like it even before then. But still, it stuck in my mind. And then, when the debate kicked off, I think it was maybe like 7 minutes in, that's when Christie just started going at Big Pharma bro, Ramaswamy, started really going at him. And I thought, that's weird, because I was actually anticipating Christie to really go at DeSantis and Haley. I know he has this very acrimonious relationship with Trump. He also has a weird relationship with Haley. And he's already taken a bunch of digs at DeSantis. So I was just anticipating him to go hard at those two. I actually didn't think he was going to do anything with Ramaswamy. I really didn't. Even leading up as like the, I know the Trump campaign machine was really pushing Ramaswamy. The media is really pushing him. I'm not saying anything that's not true. Please don't get mad at me. It just is what it is. And I thought, still even then, that was not enough for me to think, you know. And then, so when Christie went at him for the first time, I thought, that's Christie being annoyed, right? My first thought was, that's Chris Christie just being annoyed with him. You know, he's probably thinking that he's kind of like a gnat. He's just, because he kept interrupting everybody. I mean, there were times where I was like, cut his damn mic. Oh my gosh. And I thought that with Pence too, full honesty. But then Pence went in. If you saw me tweet it, the people who were following along, we had our debate live thread last night on Substack. You guys saw that too. A lot of them participate in the chat every day. You guys saw that too. And I had said, this is interesting. Remember? I thought, this is weird. This is very weird. And I said, so you have Pence now going at him. I'm curious as if there was maybe a Kemp brokered strategy. Yeah, this was Pence. We played the Pence when him going at the net. But there were a couple of times. That was more later on in the debate. But the first time that he hit him, I mean, my jaw hit the floor. And I thought, remember that piece that I read last week? I wonder if that's playing in here. Right? Kane's shaking his head. So here's my conspiracy theory. Was there a Kemp brokered strategy with Christie and Pence that not necessarily maybe didn't work specifically for DeSantis, but inadvertently helped him because of they both apparently dislike Ramaswamy?
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Because I'm sorry. Y'all, I have never seen Mike Pence. Have you all ever... When's the last time you ever saw that man get aggressive? Y'all didn't even see him get aggressive on J6. Come on. You guys didn't even see that. That was weird, right? It was very... It was a different dynamic than the pattern that we have seen. Now, Christie didn't surprise me because he hits anything, right? You look at him the wrong way and he gets aggravated. But Pence, literally, there was at one point where Christie had made a remark, and I tweeted about this. I put it in the I mentioned this too. I said Pence goes at Ramaswamy, and now we see the strategy. Pence is going to hit Ramaswamy like Ramaswamy is situated to hit DeSantis. So that's, I had made that point. That was approximately 16 hours ago. Very interesting. And there was one point where Christie went in and Pence like used it as a layup to hit Ramaswamy. It was very, the rhetoric was very interesting. So I'm just saying, I feel like maybe there was a Kemp brokered thing there. I don't know. Do you think that that's likely? What are your thoughts, Kane? Kane's looking so curious.
Well, what I'm trying to do is wrap my head around that first. Mm-hmm. When congratulations on the tinfoil stuff, because it's always great when you're on my side.
Oh, my gosh. It's not like I'm talking about probiotics.
Well, that's real stuff there. This is just speculation, but it's interesting perspective, though, if you think about it. But where would that come from? Like, why would Kemp broker such a thing?
So, okay, let me walk it down further. I love this. Okay, so this is what I think. I think that Kemp, because Kemp and Trump do not get along, I think that Trump is trying not to get along with Kim Reynolds in Iowa. I don't know why, but I just wish they'd stop. I think it's a weird thing. I think that Kemp is realizing, and some of you may disagree with me, and that's okay. By the way, I just want everybody to know, maybe with the exception of Ramaswamy, everybody on that stage is better than Biden, okay? Literally everybody is better than Biden. So let's establish that, okay? Going forward, though, let's be honest about it. Dude's a stalking horse. He's a stalking horse for Trump and maybe Big Pharma. I just have some thoughts. But, I mean, it's not the first time that it's happened, and it's not going to be the last time that it's happened. Welcome to politics. It's just too damn obvious. And there's a lot of reporting, and some people are kind of going on the record. It's very interesting. I'm just not going to pretend that this isn't real, and I'm not going to not acknowledge it for the sake of what, trying to get along? Blank that. We're not doing it. So I think that because he's the stalking horse, they realize the strategy. Trump necessarily can't, I get he can't necessarily legally compromise himself because we're going to talk about that in a minute. With Pence there, I can feel his lawyer's anxiety attack from here. But at the same time, he also didn't want to run up against, I think, Christie and DeSantis and Pence all at the same time. So he sends little Ramaswamy out there, Vivek Ramaswamy out there to take the hits and give the hits for him. And so I think that upon realizing this, I think that those two decided, hey, let's do this. And I think that they clued DeSantis in on it. That's just me speculating. I have no idea. I don't talk. It's not like I'm in regular conversation with the DeSantis campaign. When we talk to them, we're like, hey, can you come on to talk about China? Can you come on to talk about ESG? That's what we ask, like every other campaign. But I kind of think that because there were at some moments when I wished he kind of would have jumped in to dunk and he didn't. And I thought that was curious. And it seemed a little out of character for him, too, because he is not a wallflower. I mean, DeSantis does things his own way. He's never tried to beat Trump. He's just not a wallflower. So it was really weird. I was sitting back and I was watching this whole dynamic. And I actually went back later on and I was watching certain exchanges. This was after the debate again, because there were certain things that I missed, you know, like some of the body language. And it was just very interesting because there was a couple of moments where, you know, Pence would step back as Christie would do it. And then it was just very interesting. So my theory is that they were kind of tag teaming against him to neutralize the stalking horse. And they thought if he's going to play that, we're going to play this.
That makes sense.
It's actually a smart move. Very Machiavellian. I approve. So just saying. Now I can hear some of you out there going, Yep, there you go. So I think that's just some of the thoughts there. Some of the thoughts that I had on that. We're still, and I want you all to realize this too. We are still really early. We got 5 months for the first votes for Iowa. I mean, we're really out. We're out a lot. I want to caution people. Don't get so attached to a candidate that you can't see reason. And I go by this too. I mean, I'm going to call balls and strikes. Somebody that I like says something stupid, I'm going to say it. Don't get so attached to a candidate that you can't see reason. I would like to see the strongest candidate who can win in 2024. Because that is going to be one of the hardest races that I think Republicans have ever run. And it's not just for the White House. We got to keep the House too. And there's some tight races coming up there. And we'll talk about that as we get closer to it. But this, I don't see how you come back if you lose it. Don't get so attached that you lose sight of the mission. Now we got some more stuff coming in. We got some of the latest. Apparently, the Fulton County District Attorney, Fannie Willis, she wants court to commence trial for all 19 defendants on October 23rd. Yeah, like 2 months' time, right? Yeah, basically 2 months. We're going to talk about that. We got the BRICS thing. We got still a lot more to get into.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Kind of just want to karaoke the rest of the show, honestly. That's really the same. So a school bus driver shortage is causing nationwide chaos. Apparently, there's some kids in Kentucky. They're not getting home until like 10 o'clock. I didn't know that. New data found that 92% of school leaders have reported bus driver shortages. In Kentucky's Jefferson County, they attempted to alter bus routes. Kids were left stranded. Videos were emerging of buses returning home at 10 p.m. So they said that driver shortage is on the rise, and they're pushing districts to rethink transportation plans. I didn't realize there was such a huge problem with that. That's kind of crazy. Dolphins are jerks, and they launched a deadly attack on a doomed porpoise in front of stunned wildlife fans off the Welsh coast. In case you didn't know, dolphins aren't just like some cute little, not little cute little sea animals. They're mean. They can be total jerks. They said 8 bottlenose dolphins beat up a little porpoise off this coast that's very Welsh. It's a very Welsh name. I'm not even going to try it. They said the deadly encounter was described as morbidly rare. Mm-hmm. Passengers wanted to reach out and offer the animal sanctuary. They're so ignorant. They beat the tar out of this thing. They just beat it to death. They've just flapped this thing around. It is horrible. Oh my gosh, animals they're just such jerks. They are. Yeah, I've watched a lot of Nat Geo. I'm just saying. Like, I know some of the stuff, it's funny. This is a horrible story in Beverly Hills. Thieves pillaged a Beverly Hills wig shop. This wig shop serves women and children who are fighting cancer. So they're dealing with cancer. They go and get their treatment, like chemotherapy. It leads to hair loss. And so they produce these wigs for them. It's the Wig Fairy in Beverly Hills. They said thieves broke in and stole pieces meant for these women and kids going through that treatment. And they said it's inventory that cannot be replaced. And so many people need it. And now they're not going to be able to because of these thieves. Good job, Newsom. Stick with us.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all. Live or on demand, The Dana Show.
Nikki, I wish you well in your future career on the boards of Lockheed and Raytheon.
You know, I'm not on but the fact of the matter, and you know,
Boeing came off of it, but you've been pushing this line.
That was a slap fight. They had a slap fight. They had a slap fight. That was Vivek Ramaswamy, Nikki Haley at the debate. I got a quick thing here. Ramaswamy is not being criticized because he's like rising in the polls or anything. That's not it. He's being criticized because he's being petty and he's throwing around insults like this to everybody. So don't throw around insults like that. You don't get hit back because wasn't he just like saying that the Iron Dome was a really cool thing and the United States needs its own Iron Dome? Guess who built the Iron Dome? Raytheon. Jeez. Welcome back to the show. Bottom of the second hour. Guys, I'm really trying, but I'm not going to blow smoke at you. I'm going to tell you exactly what I think. I'm telling you, I will say, maybe with the exception of him, everybody on stage is better than Joe Biden. Everybody, literally the podiums are better than Joe Biden. You know, the gift cards that Burgum was selling just to get on the stage, better than Joe Biden. Want to make that point. So I thought that was a very interesting little, I had to touch on that. That was such a back and forth. He's not getting a tag as he's rising in the polls. I mean, he's just, first he's like, he's insulted everybody. He called people super PAC puppets. What else did he say? He was like, y'all are bought and paid for. Wait a minute, what? I'm sorry, what? What? Can I hear six? Yes, audio soundbite six.
Let us be honest as Republicans. I'm the only person on the stage who isn't bought and paid for, so I can say this. The climate change agenda is a hoax.
I mean, he's got BlackRock in his portfolio. I'm just saying. Oh, in case you wanted receipts, they're over at Substack. Chapter and verse. I have them linked. There's links, there's PDFs, there's all kinds of fun stuff for you to peruse at your leisure. Just saying. I came not without receipts. That's why he's being attacked, because of this dumb stuff. You open yourself up when you decide to be petty and, like, you know, try to throw hands. Some people got bigger hands. You're going to get hit when you do that. That's why he's getting criticized today. It's not because he's rising in the... Stop. It's because he did that. Come on. I want to get into some of this other stuff. I got more. I don't want to hit you or beat you to death with the debate. Although there were some fun. There were some other ones. I live for this stuff. You guys know. Like, C-SPAN's my favorite channel. You guys know. I'm a nerd. Maybe you guys aren't. I mean, your alternative is me telling you about new anime coming out. So, you know, pick your poison. But anyway, there were a couple other things. Can I just hit one more thing and then I want to tell you about bricks? At one point, Bret Baier had to turn around and literally shush the crowd because they would not stop booing. What did he say at one point? He said that like three times he had to say something and he turned around. It was hysterical because it was the equivalent of like when your mom is driving you somewhere and you're in the back seat fighting with your sibling and she does the whole, like, throws the arm out and does the whole turnaround. That's what he did. Listen to this. Audio soundbite 9.
The more time we spend doing this, the less time they can talk about issues you want to talk about.
Bret Baier's like, I'm going to have to pull this car over. So what's going to happen? You know, I mean... Yeah, I mean, he did the full turnaround. Dang. You guys, that crowd turned Bret Mom into a mad mom. Damn, you don't do that to a guy. Oh, it was funny. So I just thought that was hysterical. I had to share that with you. All right, we'll come back and we'll get to some more stuff. Can I tell you about something that looks slightly terrifying? I mean, you know, we got all this stuff to worry about with, all right, we're having our debate slap fight, right? We're having our debate slap fight. But then at the same time, we're also dealing with Saudi Arabia, Iran, Argentina, UAE, joining BRICS. Russia, China, India, and some others. That's kind of a problem. Why is it a problem? Because it signifies a further death of the petrodollar. So this is where Xi Jinping was going. Remember, he was going to Africa. He was going to meet with different leaders, different nations. And that is, it's one of the things that you know, was on deck. He was also meeting with Ethiopian leaders, etc., looking at some of the stuff on this. So you have Argentina, Egypt, Ethiopia, Iran, Saudi Arabia, and the UAE that are set to join the core group. And this is what BRICS stands for: Brazil, India, China, and South Africa. These 11 countries, they have a combined population of 3.7 billion. And the expansion, they want to reshape global governance. This is about building dominance. And out of these countries, you have, and it's weird that China and the Saudis are in it. I mean, China's definitely trying to establish itself as the superpower. And this should be concerning. We have an administration that doesn't take this seriously. I mean, this is like the death of the petrodollar. It is interesting that aside from, I mean, Ethiopia was formally accepted. Egypt was formally accepted. I mean, this is... and to have Iran and Saudi Arabia, isn't that weird? They hate each other. I mean, that's part of the damn conflict over there. They can't stand each other. It's weird. It's a big deal. And, I mean, Saudi Arabia, they're OPEC Plus, they're the de facto head of OPEC Plus. Egypt has received over $80 billion in U.S. foreign aid since 1978. UAE has very long-standing close relations with the United States, Argentina's IMF. This is going to change a lot. It's going to change a lot. This is China making gains on global dominance over the United States. And what is our administration doing to counter this? Because that's the strength of the dollar is also a national security. It's also all of this is national security. This is about the strength of the United States, the strength of our dollar, the strength of our influence. Without, you're going to have an influential leader on the planet, regardless of whether or not you want one. Do you want China or do you want the United States? Which one is going to not be all up in your business and making you be a commie? I mean, it's kind of interesting. It's pretty easy to explain. But I think that now, I think that didn't the Saudis say, I will say this, I don't think that Saudi Arabia is, because these are formal invitations. So I don't think the Saudis have accepted it yet. So I do want to add the caveat that these are formal invitations, like you have been accepted. Do you accept the invitation? It could happen. And I would imagine, I mean, it would be weird with Saudi Arabia and Iran both in it. So they are, again, it's the potential outcome of this. I mean, this is a major risk to the dollar. So they've been officially invited. In fact, I don't think, what is it, like 80% of the world oil population, if they all accepted, I think it's, I'm looking at oil, this is like 80%, yeah, it is, it's like 80% of the world oil production with all, if this was the new composition. And again, the caveat, they have not accepted yet, but if they do, I mean, that's like 30% of the world's GDP. That's what, over, maybe going up to 30 trillion. That's a lot. The administration, Kane's not taking this seriously.
No, they're not.
Where's Joe Biden?
Sleeping somewhere.
He in Tahoe, right?
Yeah, Lake Tahoe.
No, he has no, nothing from the White House on this. So this came out this morning. I haven't seen anything from the White House or agencies on this. Have you? I mean, I don't want to be a jerk. I want to give them time to. I just think it's important enough to not. You can't not address it. So this is a. Here's the thing. I had. I watched. There were some progressives out there trying to like run defense for Biden on this. Do you want to know what they're saying? They're saying, "Oh, doesn't it look so much smarter that Joe Biden's trying to get everybody on electric? Because look at this. All these people controlling the oil." So much smarter that he's trying to get us all on electric, right? Oh my God. I'm not kidding you guys. That, I mean, it's, I don't know if that's like a talking point that's going out, but that's, I've seen that a million times. A version of it, sometimes repeated, almost verbatim, talking points. I've seen it repeated a million times. So they think that Joe Biden's smart because he's getting us away. First off, he could have prevented this if he had been in any way a leader, number one. Number two, it wouldn't matter at all if we actually, because we could produce more. I mean, we were the world's net exporter for this. And then that, he ended that upon assuming office. We could have our own resources. We're not doing it. We could have expanded refinery capacity or at least started that process. I realize it's multi-year. He hasn't shown any interest in doing that. No, he wants us to become dependent upon the country that actually is trying to challenge the world dominance, China, because the Green New Deal and the whole green energy thing cannot work without an over-reliance on rare earth elements, of which China has the undisputed over like 96% monopoly. Oh, and don't forget, the Bidens just helped them expand that monopoly by the acquisition of the largest cobalt mine in the world in the Democratic Republic of Congo, the very mine that ABC back in 2017 did an undercover story on, in which they discovered 20,000 children were actually hand mining for cobalt there. And it was a big scandal. That was literally the mine that Hunter Biden's Seneca Rosemont firm actually worked with the CCP, and they acquired that for China, the rights of that, mineral rights for that, for China. So the Bidens literally helped China expand it. Not the United States, China. So how is that better? This is why we don't need anybody learning on the job when it comes to foreign policy. We cannot. Can't have any of that. It's too serious at this point. What is this? There was one soundbite that I saw, and I was like, is this supposed to be a plus? Where is this at? This is it was a quote from the debate last night. I thought I had it, and I get, oh, here it is. Audio soundbite 19. Listen to this.
She has a lot of experience in foreign policy. She recently said that you are making America less safe. How are you going to handle that if she brings it up on the debate stage?
My general view is that if somebody breaks your car for 25 years, you don't hand over the key to the same person. And so I view my absence of so-called foreign policy experience as a badge of honor.
Oh my gosh. Lean in harder, dude. It's not a badge of honor. This is not a learning on the job type thing. I mean, you're talking about giving away. You want to appease China. And that's what he said. He was kind of all over the board with that. He had said, yeah, we need to make sure that Taiwanese can defend themselves, that Taiwan can defend itself. Let's give everybody their guns, et cetera, et cetera. And then he was like, no, we'll just as soon as we get our superconductor capability set up, then we'll just go ahead and tell China, you know, do your worst. I mean, you can go back and see everything that he said on this. I have it in chapter and verse. I've got a lot of questions on that. That's kind of weird. I'm going to hit one more thing here. Well, I'll play this coming up. But this is not a learning on the job thing. Now, coming up, the DOJ is suing SpaceX. Weaponized government agencies. I'm telling you.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Y'all remember that baby dolphin I was telling you about yesterday? That dude who picked it up for a photo and then he was getting investigated? Well, they say it's dead. Although I do think that it was sick beforehand, because Florida Fish and Wildlife say it's odd that the guy could have caught it in the first place. That meant that it was probably sick. And so that's, you know, just to kind of keep that in mind. But I wanted to give you guys an update. Why do I have so many bad dolphin stories today? What is happening with the world? So you guys know the Hamburglar, right? I think he's like my favorite character of the McDonald's stuff. You know, blah, 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 blah. What does he say? Burger, 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 burger. He says like burgle, but it sounds like. Blah, blah, blah. So via the New York Post, the Florida man was caught. He's an actual Hamburglar. He broke into a restaurant, stole over $11,000 of meat. Meat? Like meat's a singular or plural. Is it just various assorted meat? Okay, so then meats would be acceptable. I was just curious. So he stole over $11,000 of meats and other ingredients. And the police are asking for help in identifying him. It was in Tampa. They said that it was at the Bayshore Mediterranean Grill. And the surveillance video showed this dude breaking in using a large pair of pliers. He stole $11,000 worth of meats and cooking ingredients. Oh, and he apparently threw everything in a black trash bag. Yummy. Yeah, that's so gross. And so the detectives say that they're gathering evidence. They're trying to deal with it, but that's nasty. Like it's, So if you're like in Florida and you see some roadside meat stands and it's, you know, a guy with a shaved head and cargo shorts, maybe don't. Just like don't with any of the roadside meat anything. Let's not. A man was arrested for a failed Wendy's and bank robbery attempt. He looks nuts in his mugshot, I got to say. Yeah, if an exclamation point was a person, it would be him. So West Melbourne, Florida, he was arrested for, he tried to rob a Wendy's and was not successful. Tried to rob a bank, also not successful. Daniel Gibbs, he was finally taken into custody, when was it? 2 days ago. And according to authorities, he started, he tried to intimidate a cashier, and he tried to pretend to brandish a gun. I don't know, apparently his plan fell apart because the worker just froze in fear. That was their response. It was fright or flight instead of fight or flight. So he left empty handed, and then he failed again at the second attempt. So they did get him, and he's in jail. He's in trouble. He's got a lot of charges against him. Stick with us. Third hour on the way.
Climate change agenda is a hoax. Climate change is also real. Mm-hmm. I'm not denying the underlying reality that global surface temperatures are going up. And
wait a minute. Will the real Vivek please stand up? Hi, my name is. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you. What? Kane's dying right now. It's good to be with you. Top of this third hour, ladies and gentlemen. Just keep in mind, even the podiums on that stage are better than Biden. Like, everything is better than Biden on that stage. Almost. So, again, welcome back. Good to be with you this third hour. Had a lot of fun talking with everybody last night, the debate live thread. I'm going to have to add that to my list, dude. That list of the flips and the flops. Right. Climate change is a hoax. Climate change is real. What? Trump was responsible for J6. Trump didn't do anything wrong. Dude, slow down on the Adderall. Juneteenth. Gosh, Juneteenth is great. Juneteenth sucks. Which way are you? No government mandates. I like Bernie Sanders' masks bill. What? Like, pick a lane. I'm so confused. Dude, I think, I gotta tell you. So back in 2012, I don't know who it was. It was a friend of mine. I can't remember. They gave me a pair of Mitt Romney flip-flops. And I was on radio. I was regional at the time, so I wasn't, you know, nationally syndicated like we are now in, you know, hundreds of different markets. But I had these, I wore these things. And I was so critical of Romney's waffling on different issues going up into the general. Because I said he's a rhino, the reason that we even have Obamacare in the first place is because he gave the pass for it by creating it literally in Massachusetts. Oh my gosh. His campaign hated me so bad. They called CNN. They were so mad. They were like, you can't have her on anymore. If you have her on, you got to have her on with a Romney surrogate. I was basically like, and I wasn't mean and I wasn't saying anything that was untrue. I was just simply stating that, I mean, this doesn't make any sense. Like, you know, I don't get this. One of my dear friends and my former boss, Andrew Breitbart, and I argued about it. In fact, we had an argument about it right before he gave his CPAC speech in 2012, where he was like, you know, you have two choices. I get it. But at the time, I'm like, golly, it's like it's such a compromise. Like, the question that I had was, are we giving the Republican Party forever a pass to do this stuff? That was sort of the question in my mind. But I had these Romney flip-flops, right? I wore them at the RNC. I had to cover the RNC. I wore them. Still, I voted for the nominee. You know, I'm a good political soldier, but I wore those flip-flops. And the dirty looks that I got, oh my gosh. Some of the people that got mad at me and decided to hate me over that then still hate me now. It's fascinating. So I'm just saying, I've always been rowdy with this stuff. And I've never seen anybody who flipped and flopped on an issue since that time than this dude. Than Vivek Ramaswamy. He's been on the show before. Personally, I don't have any, he seems like a likable dude. Look, y'all got to realize politics is not personal for me, unless you're talking about disarming me. And then that's a whole different bag of cats. I don't know why you would put cats in a bag, but there you go. I'm just saying, it's different. Come on, I was up late. I was watching the debate for you. But my whole point is that when there's certain things, you know, if you're talking about, you know, life, if you're talking about, you know, two-way stuff, then I feel like it is getting personal. And then I get, you know, I'll get a little personal. But it just boggles my mind how he has these two opposing positions. No one really questions him on it. We were talking about with him when he was on a little bit last time. And the more I read and the more, you know, I find out about him, I don't know how he is where he is. I really don't. So I think that, you know, the people who have been critical of him, the reason he's getting more criticism is not because there's like an increase in the polls. Come on, it's never going to happen. It's because he chose to get super petty lately. And I think everyone else was just kind of cool to just, you know, campaign and do their thing. And I think a lot of the people like me, we're just, you know, we're talking about the news, we'll call balls and strikes. But then when he decides to really, and he has changed up how he's campaigning and he's gotten significantly pettier, I think. Like saying, oh, you all are bought and paid for. I'm like, dude, you literally are like, you've got BlackRock investments. What are you talking about? Then you got to respond to that. That's not an attack. That's like, you're getting vetted, dude. That's you ask for this, man. You know, don't call for the smoke and then be surprised when you can't see. Okay. That's how this works. So I want you to keep that in mind. I also want you to realize, and I am very, how do I put this? Almost Vulcan about this. I want to win in 2024. Because I feel like if there's a loss, we lose the House, we lose the White House. I honestly don't know how we come back from that. Supreme Court's going to get packed, you know, all of that. It's going to be a mess. And I don't care about, I don't care about emotions. I care about the chessboard. I care about winning. I care about advancing. I care about making sure that we have a victory in 2024. However, we're going to get there. That's how we're going to get there. That's what my allegiance is to. I like candidates more than others. You guys know where I stand. I'm always straightforward with you about it. And I'm going to be straightforward with you about this. Just because I'm not going to pretend. I feel like I'm insulting you if I do. Like I'm pretending that you're dumb and that you don't know what I really think. Come on. We're just being straight, no chaser about it. Other people can sit here and they can mess around and think you're dumb. I'm not going to do that. All right. We'll talk more about the debate. We got our friend John Rich coming on later and we're going to talk about all the things that we should, I don't know, is there something I should be offended about? I feel like that you have to wake up every day and pick something to be offended about. It's ridiculous. It's like you pick out your wardrobe, pick out what you're going to wear for the day. For me, it's all black. By the way, sidebar, some of you are like, do you wear that shirt? I have 8 of these shirts. I got them for like $10 on Amazon. I'm not right, Kane?
It's right.
I literally am not lying. They're like $10 on Amazon. Your girl ain't wearing nothing bougie here, okay? And they're comfortable and I like them. I do not like to mess around with fashion or clothes because I can't dress myself. I will literally wear the same damn thing every day if I can. So don't send me another email about it. That's your answer. Okay. God love you. All right. Moving on. So the suit, the DOJ suit against SpaceX. Did y'all see this? Oh, you haven't. Well, this is like one of the fun things coming out today. So apparently the weaponized DOJ is suing SpaceX on the grounds, you're going to like this one, Kane. On the grounds that they discriminated against asylum seekers and refugees.
Huh? SpaceX did that?
Were they supposed to go into space? Like, I don't know. So CNBC reports that the suit alleges that they committed discrimination against refugees and asylum seekers in its hiring practices. The suit says that between 2018 and 2022, SpaceX wrongly claimed that export control laws limited its hiring to U.S. citizens and lawful permanent residents. The DOJ has been investigating them since June of 2020 when the Immigration and Employees Rights Section, that's like a department of the DOJ, received a complaint of employee discrimination from a non-U.S. citizen. It said our investigation found that SpaceX had failed to fairly consider or hire asylees and refugees because of their citizenship status and imposed what amounted to a ban on their hire, regardless of their qualification, in violation of federal law. And that's from Kristen Clark, the attorney general of the DOJ's civil rights division. That's what they said in a statement. And they added that, putting my glasses on because it's been a long day, they added that the DOJ's investigation found that SpaceX recruiters and high-level officials took actions that actively discouraged asylees and refugees from seeking work opportunities at the company. Now, CNBC reached out to SpaceX to get a comment on the suit. They haven't commented. I got a question. You have a dude. SpaceX. It's a company that deals with sciencey rocket stuff. Let's just put it in layman's terms.
Exactly right.
Okay, so and I would say that some of the rocket technology could consider it to be advanced weapons technology.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Could. Okay, so I think based upon that he's probably in the right. And that he doesn't think that he can legally hire anyone that doesn't have a green card. Right?
Exactly. I mean, wouldn't the government want to vet these people before they're working on systems like this?
I have a question.
What?
So, if we can just hire any Tom, Dick, or Harry, or Harriet, to work on weapons tech, regardless of whether or not they're here legally. I can own whatever gun I want to, right?
That would make sense. Yeah, no restrictions.
Yeah, okay. I feel like, too, hasn't he talked about this before? Didn't he get, some criticism about this?
I think he actually got criticism for, on some lower levels, hiring people that weren't legal. I think I remember seeing that.
Yeah, because I think he had before, and he was from what I remember, he kind of caught some heat because he was saying that it was it was ridiculous that he just couldn't do it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what. Yeah. So yeah, so he actually doesn't really disagree with the Biden administration, but they are trying to follow law. I mean, I would say rocket technology. That does sound like advanced weapon tech. So I don't see how you're going to be able to do that without being able. Because I was looking at this. It says, I looked up the law for it. And it says that apparently you've got a green card to work at SpaceX because they maintain their rockets are considered like weapons technology. And then it's the USA's advanced weapons technology. It's apparently, there is existing, from what I understand, it's the existing law on this. So, but then some are saying that they would not, because they would have to get an export license to hire a foreign national. And then it gets into export and whether or not they're physically transferring. There's a whole bunch of other regulations that go into it. But by and large, it looks like there is a law there. So the DOJ is suing them for following the law. Long story short, that is the dumbest stuff I've ever heard. I mean, that kills brain cells without even the benefit of having had alcohol with it.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so this a man decides to take a water scooter, flee China, and cross 200 miles of sea to South Korea because you got to get around North Korea. He decides to. That's some desperation to get rid or to get yourself out of this communist nation. So he left on a water scooter. He's thought to be this political dissident who had been previously imprisoned in China. His name is Kwon Pyong, 35-year-old ethnic Korean. And he arrived in South Korea last week. He traveled over 200 miles on a personal watercraft from China's Shandong province to reach South Korea, where he does have some relatives. So he's in a Coast Guard facility right now. They confirmed it is him, but he's seeking political asylum outside of China. And they said he's in good health and good spirits right now. Golly, that is determination and also desperation. That's horrible. So this, a locally acquired case of malaria found in Maryland for the first time in 40 years. Oh, that's kind of terrifying. I guess it's, yay, something else we got to worry about. So they said this, this is from local news, locally acquired case of malaria, first time in 40 years. And they say that it set off concern amongst public health officials, and the infected person lives, in the D.C. suburbs. They're recovering at home after being hospitalized. There's no other information. There you go. Make sure you get that DEET. Love DEET. Yeah, DEET. Woo! Get all the DEET. Golly, that's kind of terrifying. I mean, that, I don't know. Also, this Elon Musk, well, I told you he was considering hiding headlines yesterday. This CNN is considering a former New York Times CEO for a top job. A controversial new AI app allows you to apparently text with God and the devil. No, that sounds horrible. What? That sounds like it's of the devil. Coming up next, our friend John Rich. Stick with us.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
I love that there's the singer-songwriter thing that's coming back in music. God bless America. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here, bottom of this third hour. And you can listen to the radio program coast to coast. You can stream it. You can watch the simulcast, YouTube, Facebook, channel 347, DirecTV. That song is by our good friend John Rich. I'm offended. And I love what he said. This is just the other day. He tweeted to Oliver Anthony, the guy who did Richmond, North of Richmond. He goes, Oliver Anthony has the number one song in America. I have the number one record. Neither of us have record deals. Yeah. And he said he texted Oliver to congratulate him, and he responded, God is good. Joining us right now, our good friend, John Rich. First off, congrats on the song. Congrats on the number one record. Congrats on the success on this. It's just different right now. I actually was talking to my mom about this, and my mom grew up in the 60s, and I said, you had all these songs that talked about war, and they talked about protests. They were like the snapshot of the time. We really haven't had anything like that. I think this song is part of it. I think that Oliver Anthony's song is part of it. What do you talk to us about this? What do you think about all that?
It's 100% true. I mean, the Vietnam War, for instance, you had Creedence Clearwater Revival. You had Bob Dylan. You had all these, Kris Kristofferson, Willie Nelson, all these guys, Johnny Cash. Mm. They were all coming out with songs about, hey, time to end this thing. And songwriters actually had a lot to do with public sentiment. You know, the public has these feelings, but they're not sure if they're the only one that feels that way. Or maybe it's just a tiny little group feels that way. And so when they hear a song or they see a movie or something really moves them, and they all start gravitating towards it, they see it succeed and they go, wow, I'm not all by myself. Okay, most of us feel this way. So music is a really important part of the fabric of America, always has been.
Yeah, has been. And country music particularly. I think people have always liked country music. Do you see more people more and more gravitating towards it? Because it just seems like everything is so artificial. But as I just said, coming into this, you know, that singer-songwriter aesthetic is still more powerful, I think, in country than in any other genre.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, country music, you don't need a band. You don't need a big fancy stage or anything like that. One guy, one girl, and a guitar or a piano or whatever they're sitting with, they could, if they're really good at what they do, and they're genuine, authentic, they can sit down and absolutely, absolutely body slam you with a simple song. That's the thing about Oliver Anthony, a guy standing in the woods with nothing but a resonator guitar, got the number one song in the world for like 2 weeks in a row now. Why is that? Because you can tell when you hear him and you see what he looks like and the way he's expressing himself, this guy's not playing around. This is it. This is the unvarnished true feelings that this man has. Our whole country has been lied to our entire lives, manipulated. We've been marketed to till we're just numb. We don't know where to turn anymore. So when something simple and true gets to our ears or to our eyes, we respond to it in a major way. The truth is powerful, Dana.
It is. Talking to our friend John Rich. You know him from Redneck Riviera as well as being one half of Big and Rich. And of course, Old Glory Bank. Your song, you know, it's obviously, you know, it's funny, it's tongue in cheek, you're kind of mocking all of it. There are a lot of people, though, that are identifying with this, because you mentioned how people are just numb to everything. We've gotten to the point where I don't think there's any value. The phrase, I am offended over something, it seems like it's lost all value in being used as leverage or a cudgel against people. Because people are tired of it. They're tired of somebody being mad over what they say or what they think. And I like, because you like showcase both sides coming together in your video. There's all these little vignettes all throughout your video where people from both sides of the spectrum come together. I mean, for crying out loud, they arm wrestle and then they, you know, they get over it. They have a nice, you know, nice little competition. Tell me about, because the numbness of it, do you think that, I mean, is that still work anymore? Does somebody saying, oh, this is offensive to me, is it losing its punch?
I think it is. I can't put my finger on when this seismic shift started, but it started recently. I mean, if you go back to 2020, 2021, even part of last year, everybody was still walking around on eggshells like, I don't want to say this, I might get canceled, or I don't want to say this, somebody's going to get upset and call me a bad name. But I think it's finally hit that tipping point where people go, you know what, this is just ridiculous and I'm over it. And I don't care if you like it or not what I'm about to say. That's where you see, you know, Bud Light losing $27 billion, or Disneyland is almost empty, or nobody's going to Target. I mean, on and on and on. And so we've seen Americans, we the people, tear things down recently. And now we're seeing them start to build things. And that's what's exciting to me. The same energy that tore it down is also the energy that can set into motion brand new things that you can really count on.
I think that you are at the forefront of a group of people in country music who have saved that genre and have kept it from being, I think, flipped into, this innocuous, you know, can't write about anything from the soul, can't talk about any emotions, otherwise everybody's going to be offended. And I know that there's been an effort in country music to sort of sanitize it for this whatever cultural warfare that we're dealing with. But you and I think you've been the tip of the spear on this and some others, you've really resisted that. Has that been difficult to do?
Well, so here's the real story. I mean, if I had a record deal right now, which I don't, if I did have a major record deal right now, most of the songs on this new record, The Country Truth, would never be released. They would not put their name on that. They're not going to sign off on that, put money behind that. Oliver Anthony, God bless him. I hope he stays independent forever. Because if Oliver Anthony had a record deal and walked into one of those labels with Richmond, north of Richmond, they would probably escort him out of the building for triggering everybody and violating their safe space. I mean, they would have kicked him out. But now all these labels are groveling at his boot, offering him millions and millions of dollars to sign with their record label because we can make you a really big star. I'm like, I hate to tell you, he's already a big star and he did it without you. And it's making the record industry look somewhat obsolete at this point. I mean, as bad as I hate tech and all the bad stuff that comes with it, the good side of tech is an Oliver Anthony or a John Rich or whoever, if they've got great content, they got a great song, they can still get to the people. That's a powerful tool. We did not have that until recently.
No, we didn't. And your record, Country Truth, like you're saying, number one, this song, I'm offended. This video is great. I've seen this video. You're talking about tech. I mean, it is everywhere. I cannot open an app. I can't look at anything without seeing at least a whole handful of shares of it. And it's the cool thing is that it doesn't matter where people are coming from. It seems like it's all sides of every spectrum. People are sharing this. I wanted to ask you about something that you had tweeted too, or that I saw had been tweeted. College Game Day. You're passing the torch. What does this mean? What's going on here? You did a video about this. Tell us.
Yeah, so Big and Rich, we've been the voice and the song of College Game Day.
Uh-huh.
Since they started College Game Day.
It's not the same without you.
Come into your sit day. Yeah, everybody knows, coming to your sit day, College Game Day. It's been there forever. I mean, probably coming up on 20 years at some point in the near future. I don't know. They reached out and said, we want to bring in some different faces and blah, this and that. And they weren't mean about it. But I have to think in the back of my mind, maybe they're catching some heat because I'm on there. I don't know. But then if you look at a college football game, half the crowd screaming, "Let's go Brandon" at the top of their lungs. So they need somebody like me in the mix anyway, because I'm part of that crowd. I don't know. It's been an honor to do it. Honestly, I love college football. People that don't even listen to country music got turned on to Big and Rich music and to what I'm about through that. So it's been a great experience. Honestly, I got nothing bad to say about the whole experience.
I got to tell you, because I've always loved like outlaw country, and I listen to what my mom listened to, and my family's from the Ozarks, so I listen to what they listen to, right? And I did not listen to new artists. And it was you. It was Big and Rich that actually got me into new art. I'm not even joking. Like, you literally did. Like, I listened to you, and then I started listening to other new artists. Like, oh, country's still here. It's still, I mean, there's still some really awesome singer-songwriters.
Hey, listen, you're not the only hot girl that got turned on to Big and Rich music, okay? Everybody, every guy watching right now goes, no kidding. Sorry, Dana. Don't tell your husband not to kick my ass. It's true.
No, well, I appreciate that. But I mean, it is, I mean, it's fun and it's, it, you know, it's an escape. I love this song. I love I'm Offended. The video. How long did it take you to do the video? It's a great video.
We shot it in one day.
Is that your bar, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's at Redneck Riviera. Yeah. We put a chicken wire fence up in front of the stage, like the old school bars.
Yeah. There's a little roadhouse vibe from that.
And a little hee-haw vibe. Listen, there's nothing funny going on in our country. Anywhere you look, it's just bad news on top of bad news. And I thought, you know, I'm going to inject something that puts a grin on people's face for 3 minutes. Maybe that'll be helpful.
Yeah, helpful indeed. Well, this is, I mean, congrats on the song. Congrats on the record. I'm going to be watching to see what they do with the game day announcement as well. And I just appreciate all you do. I appreciate you standing out there, because this is, you know, people need, I think people are just getting beat over the head with everything. They're tired. And it feels like this song's like a hall pass. Like, you know, go ahead. You don't have to be worried about any of these fools getting upset over anything anymore. Our good friend John Rich, go and make sure you download the song. Get the album too, The Country Truth.
Yeah. And if I could just say before you let me go. It's the number one most downloaded record in all of country music. Right now, it's going back and forth between number one and number two on the all genre chart.
Wow, that's huge.
And the chart ends tonight. So if you don't have The Country Truth, go get it. If you like the songs, tell your friends about it. Because I'm gonna try to overtake that number one spot and be number one in all genres.
We'll see what happens.
I'm happy either way.
That sounds like a challenge. It sounds like we gotta make this happen.
It's a call to action.
There we go. And while people are doing that, they can open an account at Old Glory Bank and go and get some Redneck Riviera. Get some of the good whiskey. That's good stuff. Good to see you, my friend. Thank you so much. John Rich. And you can go and obviously you can follow him on Twitter. You find him on Twitter, find him on Facebook, find him everywhere. Good to see you. Thank you so much.
You too. Thanks, Dana. Mm-hmm.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Do you think it's possible that Epstein was killed?
Oh, sure. It's possible. I think he probably committed suicide. He had a life with, you know, beautiful homes and beautiful everything, and he all of a sudden he's incarcerated and not doing very well. I would say that he did, but there are those people, there are many people, I think you're one of them, right? But a lot of people think that he was killed.
Do we know, though? Man, I'm just saying, there's a lot of good. I thought that was a very interesting exchange. Right. So he thinks that he probably committed suicide. I don't know. Like, he does bring up a good point. That was Trump talking to Tucker last night because he released those videos. It was a pre-taped interview. He released that at the same time as the debate. So they were talking, and I think Trump brings up a good point there. I mean, you go from having your own pedo jet, I guess, and your gross mansions and all your finery. And AIDS and stuff, and then you go to, y'all saw the picture of the cell that he was in. Is that enough, you think, to drive that guy to off himself? Do you think it is, Kane? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I'm not really sure. Plus, I mean, is it just coincidence that these guards were sleeping, the cameras were not working? Like, there's so many things in that whole, you know, that whole scenario that leaves me questioning.
And wasn't there the discussion of how tall he was and then how the bedsheet was?
Yeah, he was hung from an area that he was taller than.
Now, having never hung myself, I don't know how this works. So do you just kick your legs up? And then, but when you start the hanging part, when it starts, like, I guess, strangling you, wouldn't your body's reflex to stay alive make you put your legs down? You couldn't help it?
Yeah.
How does that work? I've got a lot of, I mean, I don't want to sound like morbid, you know, or anything. I'm just curious about that. It's just, he brings up a good point, but I'm also looking at the forensics of it all, right? And I got some questions. I got some questions. Although you totally think, oh, dude, this, the, I mean, I don't know. I just feel like somebody probably offed him. I, Occam's razor, right? I don't
That's
know.
What I'm saying.
I just, some Occam's razor here. Yeah. I just think that I probably, I mean, the will to live, like wanting to preserve one's own life, I, with that guy, it's probably strong. I bet he was like, I don't know anything about his mindset, but he seems like the kind of dude who always thought he was going to be able to get out of a predicament, right? Like if it's, you know, like he's untouchable. Didn't he kind of, isn't that kind of the point? Wasn't that something that was often said about him? Right. So I don't know. I just, that was a very interesting aspect. He was asked a whole bunch of stuff. I thought that was smart for Tucker to do, to just like put it up on social media. It was a interesting conversation. They had a very interesting conversation. There was a whole bunch of stuff there. They got into a number of different things, but I thought that was very interesting. I wanted to end one last thing with the debate. I thought this was a good soundbite, and I think it was also kind of maybe a jab at Nikki Haley a little bit for some of the people who were really mad with some of her answers last night. This is audio soundbite two. Listen.
I am going to declare it a national emergency. I'm not going to send troops to Ukraine, but I am going to send them to our southern border. When these drug pushers are bringing fentanyl across the border, that's going to be the last thing they do. We're going to use force, and we're going to leave them stone cold dead.
Made me think of Stone Cold Steve Austin. Stone Cold Steve Austin. That was a good answer. That was, and I wish he got, it was a good, I know he was reserved, and I know it's, you know, playing it steady. That was a good moment because there was this argument. That was when Haley was like, Haley, I think Ramaswamy, and I think Christy Pence were all arguing over Ukraine and with immigration. And then there was the DeSantis jumped in with that. It was I thought that was a very strong response. And I know Haley disagreed with it, but I thought that was a good response. I wish there was more discussion on the immigration issue. I think that's like one of the number one, I think that's the number one domestic issue, immigration. I wish there was a little bit more discussion of that, particularly exactly what you would use in your arsenal as president to not only, you know, secure the border, but also like, how are you, you can't, and I mean, working with the Mexican government hasn't exactly worked totally. So how would you make that happen? I wish there was a little more discussion of that. The question about UFOs was stupid. As much as I want aliens to be real, I got a whole bunch of other things I want to know about first. Kane, today's stupidity.
All right. It'll be from Vivek. Not only was he talking about his lack of foreign experience being a badge of honor and flip-flopping on climate change and all that, but cut 8 won. It's cut 10. This is him flip-flopping on climate change. Listen to this.
Climate change agenda is a hoax.
Climate change is also real. Mm-hmm. I'm not denying the underlying reality that global surface temperatures are going up, and in part due.
Okay. Well, it's a hoax, and it's real.
It's a real hoax? I don't know. I got questions. Tomorrow's Friday. We made it all the way to Friday. We got the Babylon Bee guys in studio tomorrow, so you don't want to miss. Have a great night. Sign up at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Find us on YouTube, Facebook, like, and subscribe. Have a great night.